most that we know, the boat was still in international waters. The small French flagged ship, it had 16 passengers total on it, most European peace activists headed for Gaza. While the boat was still in international waters, they were surrounded by Israeli naval forces and warships. The last communication we got from them was that the boats were coming towards them and they might not have communication for much longer. And then we lost them. All attempt to reach them by phone did not go through. We are guessing the signals were deliberately jammed by the Israeli military. The reports that we've been getting now have been from the Israeli military indicating that they did take over the ship. The Israeli military says nonviolently, but we don't know that. We don't know yet how our passengers are doing. I should stress that the boat was taken over in international waters. It was headed for Gaza, nowhere near Israeli territorial waters, and it was a small boat of peace activists carrying messages of solidarity to the people of Gaza. No way any kind of entity that constituted a security threat to Israel, that Israel should treat it this way.
The Israeli military says that has kind of promised that it would stop any of the boats coming from the Gaza flotilla into Palestinian waters or Israeli waters. Why did this ship sail then for Gaza?
Well, because that is a policy that we must question and challenge. Israel has had a near hermetic closure on the Gaza Strip, putting 1.5 million Palestinians in a large open air prison. The Palestinians are prevented from leading normal lives. They can't import, they can't export, they can't travel freely, they can't build an economy. They're basically surviving on humanitarian aid, which Israel controls the entry and exit of also. It's unbelievable, the living conditions. Israel has deliberately created a humanitarian crisis in Gaza. And unfortunately, the international community, world leaders, are not doing anything to pressure Israel to change its policy, in spite of repeated reports by humanitarian organizations that this policy is unsustainable and people are suffering and dying. And so, therefore, we can't just go along with what Israel says because the policy is illegal. It's a form of collective punishment on over 1.5 million people. So we are directly challenging this, and we're saying, look, we don't constitute a security threat. Here's a small boat or 5 or 10 small boats. All we're going to be carrying are peace activists and humanitarian aid. We should be allowed to get into Gaza. And if Israel is going to confront us, prevent us, violently challenge us, and they have before threatened to use violent means such as snipers or attack dogs, why are they doing this? Why can't the people of Gaza have access to the international community? And we want to highlight the unjustness, the illegality, the immorality of this policy, which is why we're sailing.
Two of the arguments that Israel uses to say why they will stop the flotilla is, one, is that they have the right to protect their borders, and two, that people who want to get humanitarian aid to individuals in Gaza can go through, there's official ways to go through. What's your response to those two arguments?
Well, first of all, we should note, and I should stress, this is not just about humanitarian aid. Yes, a humanitarian crisis exists in Gaza, but it was deliberately created by Israel because of their policies. So we must change the policies that leave Palestinians in Gaza and elsewhere in need of humanitarian aid, because Palestinians don't want to live on handouts. They want their human rights and dignity as people respected. So therefore, calling on people to deliver humanitarian aid through Israeli-controlled channels is just colluding with an occupier and oppressor to keep the people of Gaza and Palestine subjugated. And I don't think that we can stand for this. I don't think we would stand for it anywhere else in the world. I can't think of another case in history where people are asked to accept humanitarian aid in place of their freedom and their human rights. And so that's why we challenge these policies. And as far as Israel's claim that they have a right to control their borders, right now what they're doing is occupying Gaza, occupying the West Bank and Jerusalem. These are areas that the international community has declared are occupied, and Israel must end its occupation, and it refuses to do so. It continues to build settlements in the West Bank, and it continues to control all of Gaza's land, air, and sea borders, keeping the people subjugated. And so therefore, if Israel wants to control its borders, then it ends its occupation and gives Palestinians the opportunity to control their own borders. Or we think of a situation where everybody lives together and it's not two states, it's one state, and Palestinians and Israelis, Jews, Christians, Muslims, all have equal rights. That's not what exists right now. What exists right now is a colonial apartheid system that's deeply entrenched in Israel, using violence to maintain it. And that's why we must continue to challenge it as international civil society if governments aren't going to do anything about it.